This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The CEO of the San Francisco company that created groundbreaking AI software ChatGPT will be CEO. Again, that is less than a week after Sam Altman was fired. Altman's back in, and one of the company's founders reportedly is out from the board instead. Now, this is a West Coast drama you might not have been paying attention to, but our two guests are going to help make a pretty good case that it matters here. Aaron Pressman is a business reporter at the Boston Globe, often joins us for Tech Talk. And Sina Fazlpour is an assistant professor of philosophy and computer science at Northeastern, also a visiting artificial intelligence or AI fellow at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you.
Sina, great to have you here.
Thank you.
So I want to start with you, Aaron, and your reporting, because this is a story I didn't think I cared about until I read something from you earlier this week and was like, oh, wait a minute, I do care. So let's start with, you say this all matters partly because of how and why OpenAI was originally founded. So let's start there.
Sure. So in 2015, lots of big tech companies were already researching AI madly. And Elon Musk, of all people, was starting to get worried. And so he formed OpenAI, and a couple of key things at the beginning. He made it not a typical Silicon Valley startup, but a nonprofit. And he gave it a charter or a mission that the actual goal of OpenAI was to do this research in a way that would help humanity. This is not the way Silicon Valley typically works, as we've seen with social media startups and so many other companies, that where they just are rushed along for profit. Here, there was to be helping humanity.
Okay, and that was like 8 years ago. And for listeners, if they don't get the Elon Musk of all people reference, founder of Tesla, SpaceX, bought X, now very controversial, most recent controversy, a liberal group is accusing X, formerly Twitter, of running hate speech ads. So controversial guy. Okay, so now take us to who Sam Altman is and why we have this. He's out, he's in, he's out, he's in, but now really he's in. Take us there, Aaron.
Well, it's very cool to say we're going to do the greatest AI research and be a nonprofit, but it turns out that to do the kind of AI research that's behind ChatGPT and all these things, you need huge amounts of computing power, very expensive computing power. And so OpenAI very quickly by 2018, 2019 realized they needed a partner and they wanted to bring in Microsoft. Sam Altman, who has run various companies in Silicon Valley, a well-known Silicon Valley figure, became the CEO of OpenAI in 2019, and he made a deal with Microsoft. And the deal was, well, we'll put this nonprofit business to the side. Maybe we will make some profit. We're going to take $1 billion from Microsoft to continue our research. And that's kind of leading up to how we got to the present moment.
Okay, so you said in an article earlier this week, this was a quote from NYU Professor Emeritus Gary Marcus, basically, if AI goes wrong, nobody can really be sure either way. November 2023 may turn out to be a major negative inflection point. And that is because what this is beginning to look like, basically, Aaron, is a throwdown between the let's make it profitable versus let's keep to the original spirit, correct?
Exactly. There's always been this tension in AI of rushing headlong forward and using safe techniques and making sure there are guardrails. And OpenAI was supposed to be sort of the poster child of safe AI research, careful research, and maybe now they're throwing it in with the typical Silicon Valley.
Perfect place now to bring you in, Sina Fazlpour, this guardrails concept. And we have done, and I think we can probably link to on our website, radioboston.org, with this segment, other entire shows on AI and ethics in the future. Guardrails is a really big deal right now, yes?
Yes, exactly. So especially following the executive order from President Biden, this...
No, I'm going to pause you there. What executive order from President Biden? Remind people.
So the executive order from President Biden recently came as a way of providing direction towards promoting responsible innovation in the domain of AI. And it involves many different sections, but one of the key sections pertains to artificial generative AI models. So generative AI models are the type of AI models that generate content. So people might have seen AI models that classify things. So you have in your phone images and it classifies different faces. Generative AI, similar to ChatGPT, generates content.
This is, could be text, write me code. A paragraph that does exactly. such and such. Create exactly. a song that, you know, sounds like this and this. Paint the picture that looks like Warhol made it. That's the stuff you're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so part of the task right now is providing standards to make sure that the development of these type of AI models is abides by certain type of trustworthy characteristics, is fair, free of bias, it respects privacy, is transparent, valid, and so on and so forth. And the worry in this particular case, I think the worry that is emphasized as a result of developments in the past weekend, quick developments, is that many of these guardrails right now seem to be voluntary, right? So OpenAI, right, the idea was that, as Aaron mentioned, it seemed that they tried to, there was this tension between developing products slower in a way that respects certain type of guardrails, but many people were worried that now with another new company potentially being created, many of these guardrails might go to the side. And so this is one of the key concerns that many people had, that we might suddenly face a situation where this type of safety and socially responsible development is not respected.
We're here with Sina Fazlpour, who's an assistant professor of philosophy and computer science at Northeastern, and Aaron Pressman, who's a reporter at the Boston Globe. And we are talking about why the average person should care about some power struggle inside a company, you know, in the tech sector in San Francisco, which is this Sam Altman's out as CEO of this company, OpenAI. He's back in. Aaron, I want to do the old Wayne's World back in time, because we had a conversation with you a while back now about the fact that at one time Boston was kind of a player in AI, and we wound up kind of ceding that space to the West Coast. Remind us of that. I promise there's a point to this, but first remind us of that a little bit.
Sure. MIT and Dartmouth were where the places in the 50s and 60s where the whole term artificial intelligence was developed. By the 1980s, there were a lot of companies in Boston and Cambridge. Kendall Square was called Intelligence Alley or AI Alley because we had so many companies there. But what was being developed there was a very human-centric kind of AI where people wrote complicated algorithms and huge software programs to do AI. Out on the West Coast at Google and other places, also at the University of Toronto, they were doing machine learning AI. That's where the computer program almost sort of learns by itself, writes its own algorithm and complicated machinery without the human intervention as much. And it turned out that method superseded what was going on in Boston. So we kind of fell by the wayside.
But Sina, and I realize I've been Sina, saying Sina, and it's Sina, and I really apologize for that. This is our first time meeting you, hopefully not our last on this show, because this is fascinating and important stuff. We have here in this community been good at building guardrails in the past. So now here's what we've got. We've got communities thinking about guardrails here, but we've got the pace of technology development and the companies setting the tone, as you've said, voluntarily happening out there. Is there any influence happening sort of from the, this feels like the old rap battles, East Coast, West Coast, right? Is there any influence happening from East Coast think groups on the speed of development? I read one stat, and maybe we can fact check this for me over in the control room. I read one stat that said that Microsoft's annual spending on AI research is basically the equivalent to the annual budget of the state of Massachusetts. We're talking huge, you know, $50 billion plus a year here, Sina. Mm-hmm.
Right. So let me just like very quickly say three things about why this developing this type of safeguard matter and why it's a problem that is voluntary, right? So one thing that we saw, many people thought that if Sam Altman starts his own company, it will be even less socially responsible because they can just throw that to the side.
They can just forget it.
Exactly. The second thing that we saw that, again, is kind of worrying is that the quick changes that we saw within the kind of the board, within the kind of back and forth, just makes it so clear that there's an instability in the orientation of tech companies and in the incentives, which, again, makes it very difficult to trust voluntary commitments.
So when a company's governance and leadership is unstable, their likelihood that they're going to maintain long-term fidelity to promises they've made,
absolutely.
It's unlikely.
Absolutely. It's not just firing of ethical AI teams, but also changing their entire business models and changing their entire structure. And the third thing that we saw that Aaron also mentioned is this idea that concentration of power in different forms, for instance, computing power plays a big role. So we saw that you can't just leave a company and just go start another company. The discussion was for Sam Altman to join Microsoft because Microsoft provides that type of computing power. Now, computing power plays a big role in kind of, again, ensuring transparency. So, for instance, as academic researchers, in many cases, we cannot actually verify many claims that these companies make because we don't have the similar type of power. So these three things are very factors that became very transparent and very clear throughout this past weekend. There are many existing efforts, including from the government, National Institute of Standards and Technology, as AIRMF, which is AI risk management framework that they developed, include with the help of many different stakeholders. And there are many different groups. I won't name particular groups because I might neglect them, but there are non-for-profit groups, there are the different type of academic groups that all are working on developing this type of robust standards for evaluating the impact of AI and also making sure that we shape this impact in a way that works. But again, in the absence of some type of firm commitment that aligns incentives in the right way, which typically comes through regulation, it's very difficult to ensure that these things are conformed to.
So we're back to the problem of voluntary. All exactly. Right. So I want to pick another piece up. And again, Sina Fazlpour, Aaron Pressman here, we're talking about why it matters to everyday people here as well as elsewhere that there's been this power struggle and shakeup in this company, OpenAI, which created things like ChatGPT, which you may have heard of before. You know, professors worried that college students are writing their essays using ChatGPT, and it's this generative AI tool that's increasingly becoming prevalent. Aaron Pressman, we've had a number of conversations here on Radio Boston with you, with your colleague Hiawatha Bray, with others, about inherent bias that's already built into the kinds of rules, the algorithms that help AI do its work. AI basically, as I understand it, goes out and scrapes data and then presents it, goes out into the internet and says, well, based on what I'm seeing, here's your answer, right? Which means, based on what I'm seeing, means it's only pulling from what exists on the internet. And somebody's telling it how to pull. Okay, so this morning I'm listening to the BBC report on this. And tech reporter Takara Small says this.
The board now is majority white men. There are no women on the board anymore. And I think this says a lot about the state of AI and who will be the decision makers. It's not just who creates AI, it's who controls it.
Now, this is based on reportedly the fact that one of the founders is now down from the board. This is part of the compromise. Former Harvard president Larry Summers, who has also been a secretary of the Treasury, is now on this board. But we have talked extensively on this show about the importance of diversity as a way to ensure there's no myopia or less myopia in the development, the rapid development. Now we hear this. Lots of other concerns about the speed of development and how it's going to affect somebody who gets misrecognized by facial recognition software or misidentified by generative AI. That's all still out there, yes?
Absolutely. I think one thing I want to just talk about the board for one sec, which is OpenAI named three new people to the board, three white men, as was alluded to. But it seems like what's going to happen is they're actually going to form a larger board of nine people. So they're going to pick some more people. So I think the pressure is on them now to make sure that that new board, that larger board, is diverse, that there are women and people of color, and that it's fully representative of the world. So well, that's to be determined.
Okay.
So let's talk about guardrails. The issue is that some people are talking about huge risks of AI. AI could destroy the world, start a war, all these things. But in the real world, all the things you're talking about are happening right now. Lending decisions, medical decisions, insurance decisions, police decisions, bail decisions being made by computer programs with AI features. And we need to focus the guardrails. We need to focus a lot of attention on what's being done right now. I'm not sure, you know, I think some of this talk about the existential risk to the world maybe is a bit of a distraction.
So, Sina, how do we think about this power struggle over the weekend in this West Coast OpenAI company here in Boston, based on what Aaron just said? Because, man, insurance decisions, lending decisions, policing decisions, that comes home fast. That's people's everyday lives. That's what we talk about at the kitchen table at night at dinner.
Absolutely. And to that, we can add all the type of privacy risks that we see, all the type of national security risk. If you can use a generative AI model to help you with a recipe for a bomb, for instance, which might not be verifiable, but that risk is there. Misinformation, disinformation, an election is coming. So all of these are risks that exist right now. And I think one of the things that the weekend tells us, as the story changed, there was so much uncertainty, so many things that were moving fast. But one thing is for sure, these risks are here. And we should, I think, focus on regulating, coming up with the right type of regulations and safeguards so that we address them. And it should not be up for companies to accept or not, especially given this type of situation where their incentives change, their structures change, their voluntary commitments change. And I think for me, that's one of the biggest lessons, that when things change so quickly, let's focus on what we know we have to do and build on existing frameworks that we have for doing that.
So, Aaron Pressman, in your reporting, do you see hopeful signs of guardrails being in place and being effective?
I think the takeaway from this weekend is guardrails are being set to the side more, and full speed ahead development was kind of the winner. That's the way I would characterize it right now as of this moment. It is a fast-changing situation. Maybe when OpenAI adds to their board, it will be more in line with their original mission of making AI the best for humanity. It doesn't seem like that's what's ahead right now.
So, to you, Aaron, I'll turn to Sina. Sina, what would create a more hopeful picture that might actually happen in the next 6 months?
So what Aaron says is completely correct, and that's because of the current landscape, and it's up to us to change that landscape. I think there's already hopeful signs, as I said, with President Biden's executive order for coming up with these different, better standards and regulations for responsible AI. So there's already momentum. There's already working groups. National Institute of Standards and Technology just created this United States AI Safety Institute last week, and we had the first meeting, and there are different working groups on evaluating AI capabilities. So there's lots of momentums. There's lots of different stakeholders interested. And I think it's up to us as citizens, residents, to actually try to make sure that there is enough structure to change the landscape such that no one can just put the guardrail to the side because they think that they want to engage in some type of race.
Aaron, what are you going to watch most closely, just briefly, over the next few weeks?
So one thing is the Biden executive order. It's 112 or 120 pages. There's all kinds of task force set up, study set up, requirements on all kinds. We need to see if this actually just becomes sort of a bureaucratic nothing, or do we really get actionable reports back that legislators and the president can use to regulate things? And then I would also look to OpenAI and others in California and see how do they proceed from here? Who is added to the board? Is it just going to be Larry Summers, Brett Taylor, and Adam D'Angelo, or are we going to see some diversity?
All right, Aaron Pressman of the Boston Globe, Sina Fazlpour of Northeastern, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.